Good morning. My name is Jill Briggs. I'm sharing with you as part of our series on the Way of the Cross. I'm going to begin by reading from the Bible. I would love you to read along with me. So if you have a Bible or your phone with you, I'd like to invite you to open it up to Luke chapter 9 from verse 23 to verse 25. But while you do that, let me tell you a story I was reminded of recently from someone who just visited Berlin. It's a story about the cross. In Berlin, there is a TV tower. It was built during the communist rule of East Germany at the time when the atheistic Deutsche Demokratische Republik government had torn down all crosses from churches. At the time the TV tower was built, it was the epitome of technological advancement and the demonstration of the power of communism. One thing they hadn't predicted was that when the sun shone on the sphere at the top of the tower, it forms an optical illusion in the shape of the cross. Although they tried desperately to remove it with chemicals and paint, nothing worked. And in the end, they named it the Pope's Revenge, although it was significantly opposed. Throughout that dark time in history, the cross continued to shine brightly and became a beacon of hope. When I think about the cross, I'm aware that it is one of the most widely recognized symbols around the world. Many of us wear it as a decoration around our necks, and we may have one in our homes. Almost every church I can think of has at least one cross on both the inside and the outside, because it's our symbol of what it means to be a Christian. For us as followers of Jesus, the cross is a symbol of hope, of life, and of light. It represents Jesus. Now to come to our reading. In this reading, we have an invitation from Jesus. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" We have the cross as symbol of hope, life, and light. But when Jesus spoke these words, it had a very different sense. It's why it's attached to words like losing their life. At the time of Jesus, the way of the cross meant ugly, torturous execution. It was meant for condemned criminals who walked the way of the cross on their way to die. And it meant being under Roman oppression and rule. Today, I want to reflect on how these two aspects of the cross hold together in our lives, the messiness and darkness, and the hope and life that comes. The cross shows us that redemption is messy and often painful. As we look at Jesus, we see the messiness and pain. Crucifixion is ugly and messy. It's one of the most graphic, horrific forms of execution in history. And as we look at Jesus, we also see how that mess and pain is transformed into resurrection life. And so, as we learn what it means to pick up our cross and follow him, our process of redemption is also messy and often pain-filled, as it can be hard to lay down the things we most hold dear, or the parts of our life that overwhelm us the most, trusting them to him. It can feel like letting something die. But it is in and through the way of sacrifice that we find freedom, hope, and life. I'd like to share a story from my own life from when I was around age 9 or 10. I had horrific night terrors that meant that sleeping was literally a nightmare. Nighttime was a nightmare. My dad encouraged me to buy a Bible and then helped me to find all those do not be anxious and do not fear verses. Verses such as, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, bring them to him. Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. My dad then also said to me, when I wake at night, when I'm terrified, that I could speak to the darkness and in the name of Jesus, I could speak to the terror and it would flee. I would say, in the name of Jesus, go away from me. And it did. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, a crucifixion with all its darkness and terror, he gave me authority in his name to speak into the darkness. And it is the same now. The darkness and pain of Jesus' death gave me authority. His life set me free from fear. He shares that victory with us. You may be able to think of stories of where God works in us, works in you, where you feel like you're walking through pain and darkness. Another story I thought of was one my mother-in-law wrote when she wrote her short autobiography. In her story, she reflects on her life as she and her husband sought to follow Jesus by emigrating with a young family from England to the other side of the world, to Tasmania, where my husband Will grew up. That journey was complex and really hard, but every step of faith was a step through messiness. They bought a farm and had to weather literal weather, literal storms, intense poverty and sickness. She would ask questions like, where is the abundance? Where are the wide open spaces? Where was the promise of new life? But as she reflected, she realized that every new life was always birthed out of pain, struggle, and a way that was messy. Wherever she saw true, deep blessing and grace, it was the fruit of pain and difficulty. And without it, there was little growth or depth, or fruitfulness. She called this realization the fingerprint of God, because his fingerprint reveals the shape of the cross, and she saw it everywhere. By seeing that, she saw the closeness of God and his longing and intimacy for us. Because Jesus doesn't just say, pick up your cross, as if to say, you suffer too. He says, follow me. Be with me. There is intimacy in the mess and in the new birth and hope. This reminds me of Paul, who spoke of knowing Christ in this way. In Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Within the power of the cross, there is actually an embrace of wide-stretched, nail-scarred hands, receiving our pain as a shared suffering and weaving into the hope and life that breaks through. We've heard in the last few weeks in the sermon series on the cross the words from Bonhoeffer's Cost of Discipleship. When Christ calls a man, a person, he bids them come and die. That invitation can sound hard. It's an invitation into the mess. But underneath is an invitation into real life, real hope, because it's an invitation to a deep encounter with Jesus. Bonhoeffer wasn't just saying or writing these words. He lived and died by them. He counted the cost of following Jesus. His life was shortened by being executed by Nazi regime. In that sense, it was a way of death. But the discipleship communities he started, called the Bruderhof, have continued to grow and live on across the world as light and life of Christ. The life of Bonhoeffer reminds me when Jesus said in John 12:24, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus was speaking of himself, of course, but as we share with him and walk in his way, dying to self and coming to him with our broken mess, often from the parts we don't like to share, the parts we keep hidden, he produces much fruit to his glory. So what do we do? This pattern of the cross shows us the way of the cross in our lives. We lay down our fears, our insecurities, our sins, our idols, the things we hold dear. We allow them to die. It's messy. It can hurt. It doesn't look pretty, and it often comes with tears. But it leads to hope. And it leads to freedom, and we become more of who he has created us to be. Often without mess, hope can feel like wishful thinking. But when we offer all of us to him, we deny ourselves and take up our cross, we say yes to being part of his messy redemption story by living in the hope we have in him right now. At the moment, the world can feel very dark. And for many of us, there is a lot of hard. School might be hard, work can be difficult, and family life can be messy. We can feel disappointment, disillusionment, and grief, sadness, or just fearful. But in the midst, there is an invitation from our loving Saviour that we might offer him all these things, to lay them down, to share our mess with his as he shares his life with us. When I started speaking, I told a story of a TV antenna in Berlin that was like a cross shining in the dark. How incredible that even in the midst of a history of darkness and oppression, the cross couldn't help but still shine unconquerable hope. The cross of Jesus still has the final say, radiating eternal love, hope, and redemption in a dark world. Now let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I ask for a deeper revelation of the cross in our lives. Shine the light of your cross in our own lives that we would lay down and let die what needs to be offered at the foot of your cross. Work in us to be the hope that shines for you in this day and in this week. In the name of Jesus. Amen.